Mike is giving me the countdown up there. Let me make a comment if we've not yet begun. If we have, that's okay too. Next week, we begin our classes that will be divided in different places, studying the foundation material from the home mission group that was here. We encourage you to choose one of two classes, one in the fellowship hall, and one is in room 102, which is here to the left of the restrooms. And I will teach a class in here, but not using the material, but studying the topics. And that way we're trying to meet the need of each person. But we encourage you, if you will, to be a part of the home mission study using the material, and we want to give you the choice of how you will receive that material. Different teachers, that's a difference. The only other difference is it may be a smaller environment, and that can be useful in many ways, but between the two places, we think it will take care of the 40 or 50 people that had shown interest before, and we hope some others will be. I'm not concerned whether I have a lot of people in here or not. I'm going to teach the same material, but we will be studying the topics in here, but not using the Home Mission Foundation material. We're in Ecclesiastes 12, finishing a short study of three of the chapters and material that aren't usually studied. I don't know of many people that have studied Ecclesiastes, and yet it's part of God's Word. It's written by one of the men of wisdom, and there is great value for us to use it and benefit from it. I don't know about you, but sometimes when we were younger, we did not look forward to getting older. And some of our children came right out and said, I don't ever want to be over 30. And now they're over 40 and it's okay. But when they were younger, they weren't looking forward to being 30 or 35. They had something in their mind of what that will mean. And it was not something that was a positive at the time. But it's a reality that each of us faces. The alternative is not a bad alternative if you're ready to meet God. And on the other side of your last breath is eternity with God. And that's not a bad thing. And I don't make light of it, but that's just the reality of it. And when you go back to Genesis, you understand that God created Adam and Eve, and they were able to reach up from the tree of life and eat from it and live forever. And we know that because at the end of chapter 2, he placed cherubims there to keep mankind from going back into the garden, taking fruit from the tree of life, if you will, and living forever. And they began to die that day. Adam and Eve began to die a physical death. And if you think middle age, if the lifespan today is around 72, and I think it's later than that, but let's imagine in your early 70s, halfway is 35. And that's way too early and much too young. But it's the reality. If the lifespan is 80 years, then halfway, that midlife crisis, if you will. So it's a matter of the mind to a large extent, but it is a reality. Ogden Nash says, middle age is when you've met so many people that every new person you meet reminds you of someone else. And I think that's true. And one comedian went to Mayo Clinic when he was 49, and he asked the doctor, what do you think? How am I doing? What's your opinion about my physical condition? And the response was, oh, everything is normal. If you died tomorrow, no one would be surprised at 49. So again, who knows? Who knows? But I'm encouraging you to take a deep breath, and I mean that literally. Take a deep breath. If you've not read and studied Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it will get your attention. And those of you here, and we do have some younger people, and by that I mean much younger, they're going to look at their parents and grandparents very differently. But the goal is to see life in a realistic fashion and to see the reality of growing older. And if you look at this book, Solomon has encouraged, as he would take us from place to place, remember, without God, vanity, vexation of spirit, meaningless, chasing after the wind. There's no doubt that the conclusion has to be given as he's getting older, and then as God gives us a message through this older, wise man, that we come to a conclusion. And he begins that conclusion with speaking to those who are younger. Ecclesiastes 12, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach you, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Days of evil, some of the early translations, the better rendering is days of trouble. Because all days have evil in them, but not necessarily each individual has evil in their day as far as their personal circumstances. It's around us, and that's why days of trouble is a better rendition of what's being told. But the encouragement, remember your Creator, God, in the days of your youth. And what is that suggesting us? Start young. Don't wait. Develop something at that age that will be there later for you. The implication. Days of difficulty will come, and remember, looking at life with God or without God, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, so that it will be there for you when the days of trouble come, when they're not as exciting, and when you don't look as forward maybe to the coming period of life, not necessarily every single day, but this period of life that you're going through. Is it ever a bad thing to remember God? And isn't it difficult if you don't have a heritage of it, a history of it from family and from yourself, that it won't be there when the days of trouble come? And yet, if we've remembered our Creator beginning in our younger years, it's a benefit that He's there to be remembered when the days of trouble come. It's just common sense. It's just common sense. And we're going to speak to, from 1 Peter, a couple of things that relate, and I like to connect things when I'm studying and teaching materials. But there's healthy advice given to us during the days of trouble. That will be our sermon. But one of those has to be, and it's going to be one of the points later, is the fear and reverence of God. The fear and reverence that we should have for God. Well, what are these days of trouble? Let's read verses 3. Well, let's read verse 2. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain. And so he's going to appeal to metaphors that come from nature. In other words, there's going to come a time when light and darkness appear different. I had cataract surgery a year and a half ago now. And some people said, you're going to see colors different than you have in a long time. I didn't experience that. but my cataracts weren't that bad. I just saw the opportunity with the insurance we had and the convenience of doing it before we moved. And but for some people, it's very, very radical, the difference of vision after going through some of those things. But let's read verses 3 through 7, and then let's see what they mean, because it's not as clear, but there is a specific meaning in mind. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. We'll read verses 6 and 7 in a moment. Keepers of the house, your arms and hands begin to tremble. Strong men, the idea that our legs, our knees, and our shoulders weaken as we grow older, and we walk more bent over than maybe ever before. Grinders, you start to lose your teeth. I have to tell this story. It's one of the delights of we grandchildren. My grandfather did not have his upper teeth when we remembered him, and it was before even the latter years. And he enjoyed us being around him, and he delighted to just kind of wiggle his mouth a little bit, and his teeth popped out. He was not ashamed, but he enjoyed watching his 9 grandchildren's eyes bug out. So it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a way of entertaining your grandchildren. But it's a reality. It's a reality of you start to lose your grinders. Remember, that's a word that has a meaning. The windows, your vision begins to deteriorate. The windows, as you would think about your windows of your mind, doors, either your hearing starts to fail or you close your mouth because you've lost your teeth. But I think the first one is the more specific one. You just don't hear the way you once did. The grinding comes up again. You can't chew your food, or your ears can't pick up the sounds outside. There's some double possibilities there. You rise up. You wake up with the birds very early, but you wish you could sleep longer. You hear something sooner, earlier in the day, and yet when you would like to hear the birds later in the day, you can't hear their songs. You don't hear them. But that's part of growing older. The music, your voice starts to quiver and weaken. You're afraid. You're terrified of heights, afraid of falling while you walk down the street. Your almond tree, if you have hair, it turns white like almond blossoms. Ditto, ditto. When we went to China, we had students come and knock on our door, a group of 6 particular, that says, could we come to your house, to your apartment, once a week, and you teach us? And there was a couple there, members of the body of Christ, who spoke fluent Mandarin. They'd been there 2 or 3 years. One of their children was born in China. And I said, Dale, why is that happening? He says, look at your hair. They respect older people. And they're drawn to you and Terry because of your age. And they want to garner from your wisdom. Hey, we thought that was pretty neat. But he understood it. And they had a large group. He and Lisa had a large group studying with them, had for a number of years. But some of them were attracted to that almond tree, if you will. But it's reality. The grasshopper, you drag yourself along like a grasshopper at the close of that summer season. Again, mobility, the desire. Some suggest you lose your appetite, and that's true. You lose your appetite for eating, but you also lose your sexual desire as you get older. And so again, it's a realistic look at this body that we live in. You long for home. You look forward to the eternal home. You also are with people who mourn their death, or they will mourn your death. But again, it's a realistic look at who we are. We will age unless the Lord comes first. And Solomon is encouraging us to see it, to acknowledge it, and to mentally, physically, and spiritually to deal with the reality of that. Just deal with the reality of it. Tommy? Yeah, and it's certainly a realistic comparison, if you will. Your response to see yourself through God's word here? Terry? Yeah, and we are going to age. The alternative as a Christian is a good alternative, but the reality of it is Solomon is trying to be sure we see it. Terry? Yeah. Go with the flow. Keep your balance. Saying the same thing differently, Dorothy. Yes, absolutely, and thank you, Dorothy. Terry uses a phrase, and it's part of her lifestyle, perpetual maintenance. Perpetual maintenance is a good thing. Don't let everything go because it will catch up with you physically, but also spiritually. It's true in your household, by the way. Certain days you spend a certain amount of time in a certain room and you don't have to go back to that room for a few days because you're in another room. You're doing something else. But that perpetual maintenance is a good discipline to put into place. John? Yeah, it's definitely a somber look at reality. And I've only taught this material, I was thinking this week, I think this is the fourth time that I've looked at some of it. We haven't studied the whole book, of course. But the first time I did, I was teaching a young adults class in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in the first couple of years that we went there. We'd not moved to a new location with a new building, et cetera, and that's how I'm able to kind of remember when it happened. But after just a few moments, we've been in here 20 minutes, and probably after 10 minutes, he just, with a very stern voice, said to me, and I was relatively new to them, I was their new minister, but he says, these aren't things that really happen. And I says, do you not have grandparents? He says, yeah, but. And when it came down to it, he didn't want to think of them happening. He didn't want to think of this happening to his grandparents or his parents. I think he finally came to realize what he was meaning and why it was hurtful, it was difficult, rather, for him to read and hear some of these verses. Solomon is saying it's real, it's realistic. And remember your Creator when you're young, because you're going to get older and things are going to be happening, and you want God with you in that circumstance, in those difficult times. And it's very, very real. Remember Him, verse 6, the second remember. Remember Him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken. Think of silver anniversary, golden anniversary, passing of time, change, again, difficulties, something severed, something broken. Before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So definitely dealing with the reality of a coming separation from this earth. Passing on. We have trouble using the word death. I've got to where I tend to say with a Christian, they passed into eternity. Because that is an actual. We don't go straight to heaven. Some don't understand that. We go into eternity waiting for the second coming. But there's no time in eternity, and so some will start to explain, well, actually you do, because there's no waiting, there's no time. Well, that takes away some clear teachings from the New Testament. But we pass into eternity. We're no longer involved in time, if you will. But that's what's being suggested here. Remember these things. The lamp hanging from the ceiling, the chain breaks, the bowl breaks. The cord of life snapped, the light of life goes out. Again, using metaphors to tell us things about our circumstances. We will grow older unless the Lord comes first, and unless we pass before that time happens. And verses 3 through 5 are encouraging us to let God be a part of it. But let it have occurred sooner. Tara and I know, and she knew him much better than I just met him, an older gentleman who was with his spouse weekly for decades in worship, but never responded and never became a Christian. He was a good moral man and a great husband and father. He got sick, went to the hospital, and a minister came and talked to him. It's never too late. He said, it's not fair for me to say no so many years and expect God to let me come in now. In other words, come into the kingdom. And so he was taught on that occasion the parable of the workers who came at 9 and 12 and 3 and 5, and they got the same reward. The length of time as a Christian is not what God is concerned about. It's the fact that you finally do become a Christian, whatever your age, and you're able then to go forward. God wants you no matter what your age, no matter how many times you've said no to a good invitation. And within a short period of time, they took him to a silver, a deep water place in the hospital where they could fill it with water, and he was immersed in water to become a New Testament Christian. He came to realize, But he said initially, it's not fair. I can't expect God to let me come in when I've said no for so many years. And God would say, that's not good teaching. Listen to this guy. He's going to make that clear to you. And he did. And I'm thankful. Terry and her former roommate were very thankful. It doesn't matter when you come, as long as you choose to come. But we're told to be ready because we don't know when he's going to come. Don't say no thinking you have 20 years. He may come this year. Tommy and then Timothy. Absolutely. Timothy? Yes. If he does what's required of him from God, God is honoring his decision by honoring what he's giving. But we're not encouraging people to wait till your deathbed because you don't know when that will be. But God will let any person come into his kingdom if they do what he requires, no matter their age. Yeah. You're either in or out. You're on the right path or the wrong path. Your decision puts you on the narrow path or the wide path. Your decision to accept what God has offered, this grace, and how he's offered it, and what we must do to receive it. But there's not a reward based on how long we've served on this earth, no matter how faithful. It's being faithful, whatever the age, whatever the time, whenever we make that decision. And it's always open. Richard? Well, the only place I see rewards other than just the benefit of Christianity, there are reward differences in heaven. And it's only barely alluded to, and I'll take the worst place there is because it's awfully good. There does indicate the many stripes and other levels, and that can be another discussion. But the rewards in this life are the same reward of being in the grace of God. And I think that's what Timothy's talking about. And it doesn't matter when, but it does matter that we do. Yes. Mary. Yeah.
Or at the very end of their life, it doesn't matter because if they were a different thing, then it would be legalism, and that's what Christ defeated on the cross through grace and mercy. It's one thing for everybody.
Yes, let the level at the foot of the cross is the same, Harris, and we need to move on. Yes. Yep. I don't encourage you to watch the internet evangelist. I don't encourage you. Because it's either from a Pentecostal background or from a health and wealth background. That suggests what you give is what you'll receive later. And if you're not in good health, it's because you've done something. And that's not biblical either. Wealth and health. And that's what they're preaching. And they are proud that they don't talk about sin. They're proud that they never talk about hell. And why would I want to be with someone that can't acknowledge the reality of what is happening and the grace that keeps it from being what it could be otherwise? We appreciate heaven because we understand there is a hell. And there's a lot of discussion, and we've had some of those here in times past. Let's move, verse 9. I guess we need to make the point, having God in our life and having God with us as we age and go through some of these things that are talked about, it makes it very different. It keeps it from being worse than it could be because we have a mindset. We understand this is normal. It's the sovereignty of God at work, the natural law allowed to move forward. But it is a reality. And truth is not always pleasant to hear, but it's necessary. And we're going to allude to that in our sermon this morning as well. These are truths that we need to hear. Swindoll pointed out God has designed us to be empty without Him. There's an emptiness there that many are trying to fill with things or people that cannot fill them. They cannot fulfill them. The emptiness that's there is to have God in your life. And young people are chasing after drugs and fame and education, and the older people also, but the young people especially, because he begins with remembering our Creator in our youth and being prepared for these difficult times. There's not an emptiness there. And we know many people personally, and we've heard of them from secondhand information, who are ready to die. They're longing to die because their life is wrapped up in God. And they know one breath from here is eternity in His presence. So they see it that way, and they adjust in their thinking and in their emotions. And it's makes for a much more pleasant funeral. And I've encouraged people, what do you want your family to think when they attend your funeral? Why don't you make decisions now that will make it easier for you and them? And it's encouraged a few people to do better and to come to Christ, if you will. I saw another hand, Tommy. And Tommy's statement just reminded me of something I need to write down, and I will later. If we've lived with the Lord through our life, we have that as a benefit to go live with the Lord for eternity. Amen. We're prepared for that idea. We've lived that idea. It's who we are. It's our mindset. It's our spiritual bent, if you will. But anyway, Ann? Yeah. Yeah. Although in California, Allstate, State Farm, and I'm sure we're going to see others soon, are no longer writing insurance policies in the state of California. One did it, and others are trampling the path that they've set. No other comments. Let's read 9. There's some that suggest Solomon did not write these last verses. They're alluding to what Solomon did. I don't think we have to figure that out, debate it. It's in God's word. I think it's truth. But not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads. Their collected teachings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole of man. The word duty is not in the original text. It is the whole of mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Fear God, there is a hell, and there is judgment to be enacted upon those who don't respond to the grace provided through Christ by God. But also there's a respect. And again, we'll touch on that in Peter's words this morning. But you keep his commandments. Let the fear and the reverence for God to keep his commandments. And it's the whole of man. It's what it's all about. It's our only responsibility, if you're to make a list. It's tops on the list. It's the whole of man. And the conclusion, if you will, the secondary conclusion, remember that God will bring every deed into judgment, everything we've said and done, even the things we thought. There will be a judgment, a reckoning, an answering for, if you will, including hidden things, whether it's good or evil. And I ask this question. It's probably helps us to at least to see ourselves and understand our relationship with God. Are you excited to see these words? That God is going to reveal who you are and what you've said and what you've done? And he's going to make a judgment against you, whether you've devoted yourself wholly to him, fully to him? That's exciting to me because I believe I'm trying to do those things. If it needs to be a warning, take it as the warning. Repent of sin and start again, and you can do it 7 times 70 in a single day. And I'm thankful that he's going to see it without prejudice, impartially, without some basis that would work against me. We're all going to be in the same position. It's level at the foot of the cross, and our lives will be presented one day to this fair God who sent his only son and has done everything he can in order for him to allow us to spend eternity with him. He cannot fellowship unrepented sin or willful sin, but he will fellowship in any circumstance if we will respond to it the way he's asked us to. Remember 1 John 1, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And that, 1 John 1 verse 9, is just as much a part of the plan of salvation as hearing and believing and confessing and repenting and being baptized in water in order to have sins forgiven. is just as much part of his plan of salvation. And it's his righteousness, and he's not breaking any rules. Justice. It's just. He's breaking no rules to forgive us again and again and again and again. And Satan just loves us when we start doubting what God has said and don't do what he allows. But fearing him, keeping his commandments is the whole of man, of mankind. It's what it's about. It's all that matters when you're speaking of eternity, and things will be reckoned with before God. Some good, some evil. And it's just the reality. With the same acceptance of the physical, the writer is telling us you accept it in the same way with the reality of the spiritual, the end result of spiritual things. They're both important for us to grasp and to acknowledge. The physical, we're getting old. The spiritual, we're going to reckon before God eventually. And see yourself, accept the reality that the whole of me is fearing and keeping commandments. And they're clear. There aren't really any of them that are difficult to understand, just difficult to follow. And yet he allows us to fail and start over and to be forgiven. So much is done for us. Comments before we finish. You have 3 minutes. Correct, add to, take away. I can take it. Tommy? Yes.
That is, you're making smart decisions that God would want you to make. And there's rewards to that.
Yep.
When you talk about rewards in heaven, there's also rewards here.
Absolutely. Yeah. But there's consequences to following him. Again, we'll see that in 1 Peter. Terry?
And as we mature in our walk with Christ, we more and more serve out of love and gratitude, not forget.
Yeah. Yeah, it's legalistic to think that we're doing this and we're doing it so many times, and how many times we do it, I'm putting God in my debt. I'm earning my way. That is never the case, because we never could do it. We can never do enough. Dorothy? And aren't we thankful? Yeah, absolutely. Next week, come here or go there. 102, Fellowship Hall. Fellowship Hall of 102 will use the booklet. There's some on the table, and that's what we encourage. But we acknowledge that some will be here, and that's okay. And I'll teach the same topics, but not use the book. And we want you to be in a learning environment to where we can take in these basics, be reminded, be taught, be retaught for the summer. And we want you to be here and choose those venues, and it will benefit us greatly, not only now, but for decades to come. Because some of you, not all of you, but some of you will be able to use that to turn around at some point and teach others. Others, you may bring someone and help others teach them, or someone else will teach who you bring. But that's all of the process. By the way, Andrew was just as much an apostle as Peter. He was the one bringing people to Jesus. By the way, he brought Peter. Pretty good. Thank you.